Hare Krishna, thank you very much, Dhanurdhara Swami, for your wonderful summary of what you came to share with us. Why Krishna, why Kirtan gives the highest bliss. It's very nice, and I thank you also for pointing us in the direction of today, where we have the chance to engage in prolonged kirtan during the Naam Yajna. I would like to continue from where you left by preparing all of us for this Naam Yajna with a certain, from a certain perspective. Please pray with me.
Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Simate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Askatyare Sadarine Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitana Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Sri Vasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
I would like to sing with you one bhajan. Maybe I forgot to say we don't have our everything here, so I will sing it just briefly alone.
Prapanche podia agatia hoya nadeki upaya agatira gati charane sharana Tomaya karino sara karama geyana kichunahi mora sadana bhajana nai tumi kripa moya amito kangala I took ki kripa chaye vakya mano vega krodha jiva vega udara upasta vega miliyae sabha sangsare vasaye Nite che paramadvega Aneka jatane Se sabadamane Shadiyache ashiyami Anatera nata Takitava nama Eko no barasa tumi Hare Krishna
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. In this verse, Bhaktivinoda Thakur taking a voice which can be our own voice when we are in a devotional place, expresses the PowerPoint presentation. The devotee feels here. He feels some amount of hopelessness because he reflects on his own qualifications and comes to the conclusion there are almost no qualifications. Then his eyes turns towards the goal of his life for which he hankers, for which he aspires so much. And he feels what a distance between where I am presently and what I wish to achieve. This distance is explained by Ajamil. He says, where am I, a low fallen sinner? And where is the holy name in comparison? It's Krishna himself, totally in the transcendental realm. Now as he reflects the distance, the abyss, the gap, the miles, the desert in between, the ocean he has to cross, he notices, I don't have the strength to do so. However, there's one quality, a quality in Srimati Radharani, and a quality in Krishna. They have a heart which is like butter, and whenever they see someone who is so fallen, they feel the fire of compassion which melts their heart. You know what happens when butter melts? It begins to flow, it runs. We say in the Brahmachari ashram that the woman is good and man is good, both are wonderful, but if they come too close, something happens, because a woman is like fire, it's a fiery energy, the man is like butter. When they come very close, the melting of the butter happens, then the butter goes all over the place. It's like, did you ever eat pizza and the olive oil flew all over? Ooh, everything becomes slippery. And one can fall. It's possible. Yup, bang, awa! Krishna's heart is like butter. Radharani's heart are like butter. And it begins to flow. The mercy begins to flow from down. And we all know flowing can only happen from up to down. You know, so the devotee must be humble. He must stay in that position so that the mercy can flow to him. If he wants to be the master and climb up high, mercy can't reach him. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur speaks about this. In this bhajan, and I would like to read it to you, and then I would like to shock you. O Lord Krishna, he says, falling into this material world has made me helpless. I see no other means of deliverance but you. Since you are the only shelter for the helpless, I accept now the shelter of your lotus feet as the most essential part of my life. If I look at me, I have no pious activities. I have no knowledge. My devotional practice is not regulated at all. I'm an up and downer. I'm not saying this out of humility, because now I want to be specially humble. It is the actual fact. However, you are full of compassion and kindness. Therefore, because I'm really in a desperate situation, I beg for your causeless mercy. Remember? Now he will say why he feels so helpless. What is giving him pain in his heart? He speaks about powerful masters which have absolute control over him and make him act in nasty ways. He says, the powerful urges of speech, the pushing of my mind, this constant whipping of anger, my tongue, my belly, and my private parts have all banded together. They build a mafioso group to cast me in some distant corner of the ocean of this material world. And they are causing me real trouble. Yes, I have tried on my own numerous endeavors to subdue these material demands, but I have completely failed. So now I have given up all hope. O Lord of the poor, I'm sitting here and I call out your holy name, for you are my only hope now. Do you want to know what the ocean is in which Bhaktivinoda Thakur feels he has been thrown and where he is now drowning? Sometimes devotees say, well, where's the ocean, please? I'm looking around. Now I see an ocean, but usually not. You see it. It's all around you. It's your material body which is made of earth, in which has nothing to do with yourself. It's your senses which push, and which have nothing to do with yourself. It's the devatas which has nothing to do with yourself. It's your prana which has nothing to do with yourself. It's the air, the water, the fire, the mind, which is simply waves of the ocean which surround you. It has nothing to do with yourself. It's your intelligence which shows you this is right, this is wrong. Which has nothing to do with yourself. It's the material consciousness and your very strong ego which has nothing to do with yourself. It's the ether and earth, the objects which you perceive out there. It's the pradhan, if you have studied the philosophy and know what that is. All this has nothing to do with yourself, but it very much influences you as long as you're not self-realized. It moves you, it pushes you, it tells you, it gives you emotions, it gives you feelings, it gives you all you experience, which has nothing to do with yourself. This verse, I really request you to read it. It's in the Bhagavatam, 11th canto, 28th chapter, text 24. And being myself a German and a language speaker, I'm not a German, it's nothing to do with myself, I like to read this verse to you in German language so that you just get the feeling of it, because I think the language will get to you. Weder der Leib, der aus Erde besteht. Just listen. There's a power to it. Noch die Sinne oder die Götter, die regelnd über sie wachen. Nicht Atem, Wind, Wasser, Licht. Nicht der Geist, welcher der Nahrung bedarf. Nicht der Verstand. Nicht das Herz. Nicht das Ich-Bewusstsein. Nicht der Äther, noch die Erde, noch die Sinnesobjekte, nicht die ungestaltete Urkraft der Materie, keines von allem ist der Atma. It's an earthquake, this verse. Now, the way this non-self influences our lives is by the power of habits. There are basically two types of habits which constitute the habitual life. The psychological habits and the physical or physiological habits. And I would like to give you two examples of how these habits run the life in a retreat. These habits, psychological habits, act as filters where only a certain information reaches you. Filters could be expectations. I would like to say what one devotee, he's not here, so he won't feel this, how he commented in the second day, the Kirtan retreat. He said, I'm highly disappointed. Because I thought Kirtan retreat means to chant all day. He came with a certain expectation. And he didn't see the expectation was fulfilled. And instead there were two swamis talking philosophy. So I told the devotee, I just want to point out to you that kirtan is going on at the present moment, but you are not there. I also wanted to point out to you that kirtan went on in the morning and you were not there. I also wanted to point out to you that there was a morning program, but I didn't see you. I wanted to point out to you that look all around, devotees sit and do kirtan or japa, but you don't see it because you have a psychological filter which filters out reality for you. The devotees were shocked, and he said, I will think about it. Then I said, I hope you are there today when there is 12 hours of kirtan. Most probably I will not see you then, and you would sit somewhere and say, there's no kirtan at the kirtan retreat. This is how it worked. The devotee was really shocked. He started to cry and he said, for the first time I see what it means to be a conditioned soul. I will give you a second example, even more embarrassing. Physical. There are thought habits. And we think things have to go a certain way. And if something runs in a different way, we just can't receive it. We can't see it. It's just not registering. It's blocked out by a filter. Just like a sunglass. You know, there may be a person with a sunglass going in the sun, and he says, I only see brown colors. Everyone says it's so full of light. And you have to say, Baba, take off your sunglasses. Then you will see it's bright day. It's not night. This is how habits work and control us. This was a psychological habit. Now it gets more intense. The physical filter. I asked a kirtan retreatee after the second day. No, I didn't ask the retreatee because I saw already what was in the mind. It was a man who looked absolutely miserable. So I said, okay, I wait another day. This is not possible now to do surgery on him. The patient is too weak at the moment. So then I came to him yesterday. I said, may I ask you, how is your kirtan retreat experience? He said, now I'm all right. If you would have asked me yesterday, I would have said, it's absolute misery. I said, why is it absolute misery? Yeah, look at me. I had pimples, acne, all over my face. Because I'm just so moved. And yet, the day before yesterday, all what I wanted is a clean skin. A good-looking skin. I'm a good-looking man, usually. The kirtan retreat has made me into one singular acne pickle, we say in German language. Pickle? What is it? Pimp. Pimple. It has transformed me into a pimple. I said, Hare Krishna Prabhuji. Have you asked yourself why this was? You have become so physically and intellectually unflexible that the moment you come into a different environment where you don't have your bathroom, your luxury bathroom, and your bed, and your biological, macrobiotical food, that your body explodes because there's so much impurity and toxins in you that pang, it comes in the face and you look like one pimple. Hare Krishna. This is the state of your life. This is how your habits rule you. The devotee also had tears in their eyes and said, thank you for pointing out. Now I know what it means to be a conditioned soul. I said, Prabhu, please excuse me. I don't like to preach like this. I don't want to talk about pimples. I want to talk about Krishna and Vrindavan. That's all I care about at the moment. But because I'm you have paid money here to come to this, and I'm your facilitator, it's my paid duty. By the way, we as facilitators don't get money. I've made this very clear to the organizers that I would lose all my pious credits if I get. You can't be paid for giving knowledge. This is not proper. And they don't do this. They don't. No one did this and has this in the mind. I'm just making the point. I feel it's my duty to help devotees see how much the habitual life runs us, and when it's a little disturbed, how we, which happens during the two first days of the retreat, how we react with one signal called discomfort. You know, the human body is habituated to a temperature between 15 and 25 degrees Celsius. The moment it's too under 15, we feel discomfortable, and the moment it is above 25, we also feel discomfort. We are living in this frame of conditioning as human, as European human beings. My dear devotees, I could give you many examples pointing out how habits and not our free will runs our life. Habits form the basis of our actions. They are like the grooves in a gramophone record or the data in a hardware. Whatever grooves are in a gramophone, this is what the music comes out. Or whatever data is there in the hardware, this is what informations come out in your computer. Habits are so absolutely powerful, they are called sanskaras in Sanskrit. They carry something and they make you do something, these sanskaras. Now, after having said this, I have very good news. Very good news. And I will also change the voice of my voice so that you get the good news. It's no longer the dark voice. The good news, my dear devotees, is we can change our habits by taking the bad things out and putting new good habits in there. That's the wonderful news. And the music of our life can be totally different. You can play a different role in creation if you exchange your habits. How do you like this? Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, one of the masterworks of Rupa Goswami, tells us how to do this. It's a very philosophical and psychological thing. I want to make it a little bit easy because of lack of time, and I always have this. I really am determined to finish on time. So, before I get into Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, there are two types of bhakti. One is what you put over you. You do as if you do something. Then, when you do this long enough, in other words, you train to get a new habit, then the activity takes power over you and you do it from the heart. Is it clear to you? It's like training the piano. After you have gone through the movements, you don't need notes any longer. You go and something more beautiful, hopefully. So what you have to do to create a new habit is taking up new activities, which then, when you do them often enough, begin to form your life and run a new melody in your life. That's how you do it. Rupa Goswami lists 64 activities which you can choose from, and you do them. And after some time, when you do this and remember the person for whom you do this, that is Krishna, then some bhakti comes, natural bhakti, and then you are on your way to awakening your taste and ultimately getting spontaneous devotional service. Yes. So, the way to create new habits is you must, first of all, I will run you now through the steps. If you would like to take notes, this is not necessary because you can read it on page 10 of the Japa Transformation Workbook, a book I highly recommend for you. It is seen... I need to skip things because I only have 7 more minutes here. But you can read this. What you must do, you must know that in the beginning, as you enter a new habit, the old habits are still very strong, and there is a fight going on. Who will win? That's on the first day of the retreats. And now I can say it because you are on safe grounds and no one has left. That's where many people leave retreats. Somehow, up till now, it hasn't happened on Japa retreat and Kirtan retreats. But I was on other retreats looking how others do it, and many people leave. They feel so discomfortable psychologically and physically to be out of their comfort zone, you know, their 15 to 25 degrees Celsius in my example of temperature. So in the beginning you are still very soft and you need to protect your resolve to adopt a new life. You need to really protect this. It's a little bit like in India, when they make these clay bricks which are baked by the sun, they take clay, form it, and leave it to the sun rays, and then after some time they become firm. It takes usually 40 days. I asked the people who do this how long it takes. Now, in all the world's traditions, you find the number 40 as a time where you build a new habit. For instance, the original Brajmandal Parikrama is done for 40 days. It's not a quick fix, Brajmandal Parikrama. You go 40 days, because after 40 days, going through the holy places and hearing about Krishna and singing his glories, you are firm. Your habit is no longer like a soft, malleable, formable clay thing. It is a firm thing. Or when you do a Harinam retreat, you chant. You have to do a minimum of 30 days. Better is more, to develop a new habit of chanting. Moses, I'm going now to Christianity, went for 40 days in the desert and Jesus followed him suit. I mean, after several years, there's a difference between the Old and New Testament. Sufis go for 40 days into reclusion, where they do their dhikr, that is chanting the names of Allah, the most wonderful, glorious. Because everyone knows you have to work to develop a new habit. And it's a minimum of 40 days. Now, after you have completed 40 days, don't relax your caution. You have to monitor and watch, but it is no longer so difficult. If you want to get up earlier, you have to do it for 40 days. Every day, let us say 15 minutes. And after it, your body will still want to go a little bit in the mode of ignorance, but it's no longer difficult. You have to get up earlier. It's a new habit. So, in this Kirtan retreat, my dear devotees, we want to make, because we can't keep you for 40 days, it's financially not possible, it's our life is not like this, we want to do two things. We want to make a deep impression. And this deep impression, this super deep impression, will be done today. It's the turbo day. It's the day where we really go in the oven. And we don't go any longer in the sun. It's too slow to make a clay brick in the sun. We will put you in the oven now. It will be more intense. It's an intense spiritual practice, which is very delightful, because our Maharaji has told us, Kirtan is the most delightful process for transformation. It's good. He has given reasons, and we believe him. At least no one of you has protested and against what he said. So it works. When you he said one word, he said to us, we must absorb ourselves. Any devotional practice works when we absorb ourselves. So today, during the 12-hour kirtan, which is from 12 o'clock to 10 o'clock, right? No, 10 o'clock to 10. It's easy to remember. It's not difficult to plan. 10 to 10. I request you to make good use out of it. I can guarantee you that many of us will be in the Adriatic Sea and will not participate for the 12 hours. I myself intend to participate for 8 hours, because I have other things to do. I think that's all right. 12 hours is maybe difficult. You have to monitor your time. But please go with the intention to spend as much as you can arrange your time in the kirtan. You will see, it's not so much about staying and sticking it out. It's for creating a new impression. This will help you for the rest of your life. I can guarantee you this. You will be a different person today. It is very easy. You just have to stay and open your mouth first listening and then chanting. Life has become extremely simple. And as we have heard, it's the most powerful process. We will transform. The Gusenitzer will become a laptop. What? Leptian, not laptop. The caterpillar or the Raupe will become a butterfly or a Schmetterling, you know. I was thinking, what? Leptia. Leptia means butterfly, not laptop. My dear devotees, it's possible. Now, if you wish to know more about principles of transformation, I request you to take this book home with you. It's the Japa Transformation workbook, which has a lot of instructions how to transform. It has a lot of informations, which are very helpful. We only request, we have printed this only for this Croatian Japa retreat. It has a beautiful new color, cover which you can put before you and chant, because this is the meditation which is recommended in Sanat Kumar Sanghita for Japa, for good Japa. This is the picture which is painted for this. And we request a little donation, but those of you who are too poor, so just you can say it to me, and I will give a donation to you. You know, it's so important for me that you take this and read it. If you are poor, you will get that. You can get it. You tell me, and I will collect a little donation. It is not possible. I already have a donation for poor devotees. I have always a fund for serious devotees who are poor, and many devotees get, you know, brahmanas should give donations, so I'm trying to also follow that, to support them in their spiritual life. So money is not the point, but if you can give a little donation for this and take it home. Dobro! This is not some motivational talk. It is the experience fact in the spiritual cultures of the world. It's not that only we have this point. It is possible to change by changing your habits. If you don't change your habits, you will not be able to change. And there is a process how to do it, a process which you can learn in the scriptures. And today we will take the most powerful of all processes, the chanting of the holy name, and we will simply do this with great enthusiasm and as long as it is possible for us. Please don't you know, push yourself too hard, because there will be other times. There will be also the kirtan retreat continues after today, and if you are pushing yourself too hard, you might be too tired or too exhausted or too cranky and not be capable to follow along. So don't challenge yourself too hard, but give it the best which you presently can. You will also not be, and please swim and do everything. When I said this, I didn't want to criticize this. I wanted to say, please don't flee from the kirtan into your comfort zone, which is not comfortable. It is not comfortable. It is painful, this zone. Yeah. So, Hare Krishna, we have ended our program. I'm 1 minute over time. What happened with me? Maybe it's because Banu Nandini came here, and then I was fearing that I was going over the time. We will end here. We will see each other at 10 o'clock. Do you remember what is good to bring? Good. If you can't make it for 10 o'clock, no problem. You can, when you make a pause, also go out and pick a flower. Bring something for Krishna. Yes? Are there announcements? Yes?